You're listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Miles alongside Rob and Tori, and together we have many, many decades, most of them Rob's, of experience in the precious metals on advising and brokering the metals. So each week, the three of us like to provide a little technical analysis of the metals charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and news that help move and predict the markets. So today, I'm just going to quickly recap of what the markets have done over the last week. Then, Tori, Rob, I think we need to talk a little bit about what's been going on for certainly the last quarter, last half of the year, as we're halfway done with 2026. And then a couple other things we want to get into here in a few minutes. So kicking it off with gold this week, everything a little bit of a turnaround from last week, guys, with gold starting up about a little under 2.5% so far at 4,065. So we did push back above 4,000 ever so gently here over the last couple of days. Silver as well, up 5.7%. Anything gold does, silver does a little bit better. And it is flirting with the $60 mark again, which we did push below over the last week. So silver back up about 5.5%. Platinum is up about 2%, still under 1600, currently at 1575. And palladium up about 4.5%, but it is way down at 1200. It was at 1202 when I was checking charts before we came in here earlier. The S&P also up about 1%, bouncing around 7500. And I thought it was interesting, and we may take a look at this here in a few minutes, but the Dow Industrials also up 1%. The Dow Transports up a little over 1%. So that sounds pretty comparable across some of the major indices and the equities markets. But when you zoom those charts out, they don't look quite as identical as you would think. So we are starting to see a little bit of diversion between some of the major indicators on the stock market. And then finally, with everything else up across the board, you can probably guess that the dollar is down, although only barely down, I think almost 0.1% from our recording last week. And it is sitting, like I said, pretty even at around 101.4. So fellas, where do we want to kick it off this week? Do we want to go to Rob in the studio with some wisdom, or do we want to go to Tori live on location with a little update on what the metals have done over the last quarter?
Secret location.
Secret live on location, Tori.
Yeah, the last quarter is pretty rough. I think this was the worst quarter we've had in how long, Tori?
Like 13 years. Take in the second quarter as its own little snapshot photo. You're right, Rob. It's a 13-year negative outlook, if you will. Not a whole lot of positive. If we're going back, as Miles, you mentioned, the midpoint of the year, but certainly the quarter, because gold was down 13.6% this quarter. And that's what we're alluding to there, Rob, is just that being the worst quarter in 13 years. But actually, it was far better than the white metals, because for the quarter, silver and platinum were both down about 20.5%, and palladium was down about 19%. So the white metals lagged even more on some of the economic slowdown on top of pulling back. But with those highs that we set in January, when everything was so euphoric and all of our clients were excited and happy, we've come off quite a bit from there, especially. But year to date, it's not as bad.
What does it look like year to date?
Year to date, gold's down 6.5%, but silver's down now. All the white metals are negative for the year. 16%, 23% for platinum, 24% for palladium. So it's not a real rosy picture, but we love what has transpired still over the last 12 months. So over the last 12 months, gold's still up over 23%. And, you know, we've got this secular bull market, if you will, that's a much prettier picture as we get a little interruption, and Miles is the chart expert, will get us up to speed there. But gold actually up 23.5% over the last 12 months, silver up almost 67% in the 1 year, platinum likewise up 17%, roughly year over year, and palladium's up 10%. So that's a great 12-month return. Rob, I think, was kind of a key takeaway for you, still through this quarter.
Well, and of course, you know, we're two quarters into this new year, but at the last two quarters of last year was so explosive, you would almost expect some kind of retracement, and I think that's exactly what we've seen. And the interesting thing is we are now back at the 65-week moving average. And Miles, I can't wait to see your charts on that, going back just in the last few years and going back over 50 years, because that tells a different story.
Yeah, and I think it's important to keep things in context as we go through some of this stuff. You know, Tori, like you said, I mean, gold since July of last year is up over 20%. Since July 1st of last year, gold at one point was up 70%, which is outrageous. That is an outrageous amount of money in 7 months, because it ended at the end of January. So that's 10% a month, not 10% a year. That's not a bad return. I'm sure anybody would take that. So it's not surprising to see it have a pretty dramatic pullback at some point. Silver up, what, 60+%, 65%, let's say, since July 1st of last year. At one point, 240% rise in 7 months.
Wow.
Also, that's a little bit outrageous when you hear that number out loud. So to look at something that has that significant of an extension into the absurd from a percentage standpoint. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying $100 silver is absurd. Frankly, it was about darn time that we saw silver finally do what it really has needed to do for the last 10 years. But to happen in that short a period of time, it's not unreasonable to see it come back to what is still would be considered an astronomical return in an asset like precious metals. This isn't like taking money to the casino or anything here, and you're looking at a 64, 65, 66% return in a year at probably nearing the end of the downslope or very, very close to it. And I think that pushes us over to the question you just asked me when we start looking at some of the indicators on the chart. So we're going to use gold as the example this week, because gold tells us a pretty nice story as far as how the charts are starting to lay out. So we hit something that we haven't hit in a very long time yesterday, guys, and that is the long-term 65-week moving average, which we touched on Tuesday of this week. So I guess 2 days ago, since our show comes out on Thursdays. And it has been quite a while since we've had our toes on the 65-week moving average. And it's good to see the price trail back to its long-term historic average, which has also been drug up dramatically over the last year. So 65-week moving average sitting right around 4,000 right now. So anytime we hit a major indicator, one of the things I like to look at is say, okay, what else is happening right now? Mm-hmm. You know, because we were talking about this earlier, the three of us. For me, I get very nervous when somebody gets really excited about one specific thing taking place. You know, we hit the 65-week moving average. That hardly ever happens. It's like, well, it hardly ever happens when the market is screaming one direction or the other, but it happens all the time when the market is trading sideways. So doesn't necessarily mean as much. Or got an email from a client a week ago that I still need to call back on. So if you're listening, apologies. But news report, somebody he reads came out looking at the black cross or the death cross of the 50-day moving average and the 200-day moving average. And I'm like, okay, well, there's 500 times that's happened in the last 20 years. And I don't know if you can guarantee there's something taking place there in the same direction every time. So what I like to look for is this. Are we seeing a lot of these things all happening at once? So we started talking through the gold chart earlier today, and here's your 65-week moving average that we're hitting. Here is that 50-day and that 200-day moving average crossing at the same time. The 50-day and the 200-day cross is taking place exactly where a 382 correction would be back up. So if we've bounced our way down and it looks like gold may be taking a break from the slide and maybe turning around and coming back up a little bit here as it trades sideways, you've got multiple indicators all lining up right around 4,400. So I would argue that right now there is a good chance that we could see gold probably putting sort of an interim trading range top at around 4,400. So, okay, well, where's the downside? Well, the 65-week moving average is a pretty nice floor. We're at it right now. And if you look at the really long-term Fibonacci correction levels, we're right at that 382 Fib. So now here's what's crazy about that, guys. All this movement back down that we've had, and as of today, we've finally hit the first most shallow correction level here just in the last couple of days. So you've got multiple indicators all kind of lining up within the same trading range here between about 4,000 and 4,400, give or take. So then you start saying, okay, is there anything that can provide it a little bit of momentum one direction or the other? So you look at some momentum-related indicators like the relative strength index, and you've got divergence on the relative strength index where the bottoms have kept getting lower on the price, but the bottoms have started rising on the indicator. So you're seeing this inverse correlated price move against the indicator starting to push up, showing weakness. So I see a lot of reasons why we're going to see gold turn around here, at least for the short term. So now what happens when we get to 4,400? That's going to depend on momentum. So frankly, that's going to depend on all of you listeners. So if you want gold to go up, I'm sorry, you got to start buying it when we hit these bottoms. Because the only thing that makes the price go up is more buyers than sellers. And if you want gold to go up, you can't expect the rest of the world to do the work for you. You got to start getting into these markets when we hit these lower prices.
Well, China's been the buyer.
Yeah.
Every time that we see these corrections pull back. And Rob, I'm going to point to you here for a bit because you get these rallies, you separate from these moving averages, you come back to touch them. It's all very healthy. And you've seen all-time highs hit throughout your 40 years, okay? And that all-time high, after a big decline, becomes the next target that you always end up hitting again. So to me, the $121 silver and the roughly $5,600 gold are just upside targets that will be touched again in some time frame.
Oh yeah.
And blow past them again and they become the new floor. Just like $50 silver is in all likelihood the new floor. And it was the ceiling in 1980 and again in 2011. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be discouraged here.
No, we're in the middle and coming close to the end of a seasonal weak market. It's very predictable. You know, we talk about seasonality and then we look at technicals. But you alluded to the big fundamental, and that is demand. And the demand from the East is not going away. It's increasing.
Yeah. 19 straight months, China has acquired gold reserves. The whole world is holding more gold now than U.S. Treasuries as a reserve asset, right? That's not changing. And I'll tell you, the three key underlying fundamentals for the gold owner are this perpetual increase in inflation, so things get more expensive. Second is the perpetual increase in the money supply, which in terrible fashion skyrocketed in May. And we printed more money in May, surged $23.1 trillion in May of 2026, the M2 money supply. So we've hit another all-time record in the M2 money supply, and that's adding $699 billion year to date. Now that's through May. That doesn't count what we don't know has happened in June yet. So the money supply spike is huge. Then you've got the debt, you know, which we're nearing $40 trillion and showing no signs of turning the other direction. And those are the primary long-term reasons that we own gold. And then zooming out, you see, you know, on Miles's charts that this is a cyclical bearish activity in a secular bull market. And there will be a floor put in. And all jesting aside, it likely will be China and some Eastern central banks that gobble it up, you know, for the 20th straight month.
Yeah.
Well, with open interest as low as it is, it would not take a very big order to start rallying gold again. David McIlvaney said it very well yesterday when he said, hey, guys, I can see the floor of gold maybe within $100 or $200, a few hundred dollars to the floor, if that even happens, and we don't know that it will. But the ceiling is thousands of dollars away.
Oh, that's such a good point.
It really is. I mean, somebody asked me today, how high is gold going to go? And of course, it's always goes back to, Tory, what you said. If we're valuing gold in U.S. dollars and the dollar, oh, they're just printing so much and the debt is so great. $10,000, $15,000 gold? I mean, is that crazy? Well, it depends on how much.
No, the correct answer to how high is gold going is just yes.
How low is the dollar?
It's just yes. How high is gold going to go? Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to go however high it goes, you know, and it's an interesting point you bring up, Tory, because you look at some of those, let's call them influencers that push people towards metals. You know, new money coming into the system, inflation rate, cost of living expenses, how all that translates into the things that tend to emotionally push people towards investing in something like metals. There is a fourth one you didn't mention that we just have to be honest about, and that's they're already watching the price go up. So there is a mental aspect that I think we've spent our entire careers trying to encourage people to just disconnect your emotional attention from your financial decisions. Because the things that you just mentioned there, those things that give a significant amount of strength to the argument of you have to have a percentage of your portfolio in metals, unfortunately, the best times to buy gold, it is completely non-emotional corporations and governments that are actually doing most of the buying. So the pattern you typically see is when gold starts to bottom, China starts picking up buying again, and that's when you should too, but most people don't. And then once the price starts rising, you see the corporations come in because they're going to chase the profits on the futures and options market side. And then that's going to bring big investors in, and the price is going to continue to go up. And you have this train of price movement over time where different categories of investors are going to jump on that train. And a vast majority of individual investors typically get on the train pretty shortly before it's about to hit the next station.
Well, Miles, you mentioned influencers, and I've had several phone calls from people asking me, are we going to have a 50-year treasury backed by gold? Because there's a promoter out there saying it's going to happen on July 4th. It's all a very big secret, and that's going to happen. And then other people, influencers, I guess I'll just call them, are saying that they're going to see an explosive price because the government's going to revalue the price of gold to market, and all these things are going to change, and it's all very secret and undercover. I tell people I can't see it. Now, I do know there are 11,000 open contracts for the end of this year in the $10,000 to $15,000 price range, and some are even in the $20,000 price range. The gold has to go up 3 to 4 or 5 times for these contracts to be in the money. They're still open. We'll see what happens. So somebody's out there betting on a big number rally. But honestly, I think these kinds of events, a 50-year treasury bond that's been promoted now for the last 2 years by a certain individual, we're not seeing any indication that's going to happen.
No, and you guys are making great points. And I do think it's fair to the listener to summarize why the metals have turned down. Because that is one of the reasons. For me, there are four primary reasons that we're in this decline. Rob, you already mentioned the seasonality. Okay, so June is the worst month for gold and silver. Over the course of 50 years, it's averaged out to be the worst month. So we're through June. July actually tends to be an excellent month. So we'll see if we get Miles' rebound up to around that 4,400, and it would follow suit with what we've seen in past years.
Yes.
So that's one. But two, there's forced liquidations going on in the paper market. So whether people were on leverage, you know, there's margin calls or there's liquidity needs because of downturns in other areas. The bond market is certainly decimating a lot of portfolios, but there's liquidity needs and margin calls and selling. And all that selling is going on in the ETF and the futures markets. Okay, so that's number two. But to me, the primary one is the war. Okay, and with the war comes some key headwinds for gold. All right, so this conflict with Iran breaks out. What happens? The U.S. dollar rallies. Well, when the U.S. dollar rallies, that tends to put pressure on gold. Gold turns down. Secondly, the treasury yields started to rally. Treasury yields are a major headwind for gold. And so as real rates start to increase, gold becomes less attractive than other short-term means of recouping some good return on money, you know, in the short term. And then finally, the third dynamic that happened with the war is the inflation picking back up. So we get this aggressive increase in the annualized inflation rate, mostly because of an energy shock. But what that did is it caused the Federal Reserve to pivot, and they were talking about rate cuts. Now they're having to talk about rate hikes in 2026 in order to rein in the inflation, right? So that's strong dollar policy, and instead of weak dollar policy that everybody was hoping for. So those things, of course, are going to drive the gold price down, but they're short term, you guys. This isn't like some major underlying fundamental deal that has changed.
And no, so that's very true.
I'm not, and all of this coming off of an overshot of speculation in January. Let's be real. There was a euphoric, manic overshoot to that melt up in January due to influencers or supply constraint concerns, whatever the reason. But if you back off and you take that spike out of January, these are still beautiful charts in a very solid secular bull market with very strong underlying fundamentals that tell the gold owner to not only hold on, but to add the ounces on these dips. It's the same thing you've experienced in your 40 plus year career, Rob, that Miles and I have in our nearly 20 years.
And yeah, very true.
Don't be discouraged.
Well, and there's one other thing, Tory, that I remember several years ago when cryptocurrency sucked all the air out of the room and gold flatlined, okay? Same thing happened in the last few months with AI stocks. And as much as I love Elon Musk with his SpaceX, there's a lot of money flowing into those sectors, pure speculation, and they're ignoring gold right now because it is a euphoria that's happening. So that will settle back. We've already seen SpaceX brought back from its highs. We'll see what happens with all the AI stocks, but for now, I think there's a lot of reasons why we have hit some headwinds, and I am not worried. In fact, I'll be adding some more gold to my position by the end of the week.
Rob, I'm glad you mentioned that about the equities market, because I mentioned this at the very beginning of the show when we were looking at just some weekly prices, and I did something I didn't usually do, and I showed the comparison between the S&P and the Dow Transports. The reason I brought that up, and I think it plays into what you're talking about, is we're looking at the Dow, which is your top 30 companies, which is still climbing strong right now. But the S&P has really tapered off a bit. You know, the broader index, where you're looking at a much larger collection of companies there, 500, or the Russell 2000, where you're looking at now 2,000 companies, has really flatlined out here over the last bit. So the equity market rise, the farther you zoom away from the cluster of trees in the middle, the more you kind of realize is the edges of the forest are burning a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the broader you step back in the equities market from the magnificent seven tech stocks look great, and then you zoom out to the Dow Industrials and it looks a little bit less great, but still great. And then you move out to the S&P and it's, man, that still looks really good, except it looks like it's starting to taper off a bit. And then you zoom out to even like Wilshire and Russell and so on and so forth, where you're looking at many thousands of companies at once. And it's, oh, it looks like it's been kind of flat here for a couple months. So I think a lot of the wind in the sails on the equities market, man, it's still still getting drugged by just a handful of the big boys, and everyone else is kind of getting brought along for the ride. We see what happens when everybody gets really excited about something. We've seen it in Bitcoin in years past. We saw it here recently in the precious metals, especially silver. And we've seen it in real estate before. Mm-hmm. That marks the beginning of my career here in metals. I moved into metals right in the middle of the massive real estate boom in like 2004, 5, 6, when things were really skyrocketing there. So you do see these ebbs and flows. And I think from my perspective, I mean, if I can get anything across to people during the course of my career, all have felt successful. And that's, you have these ebbs and flows in the markets. First, market doesn't care what you want it to do. So stop trying to get it to do what you want. Start learning how to ride the market the way it's going to move anyway. And then the second thing is that the more you can differentiate what you want to happen from what you should do. You should make move under certain indications and certain market conditions. And what you should do isn't always what you want. Because what you want is you want your gold to be worth more US dollars. And if that's what you really want down the road, then you should be making the decisions when it's not. So anybody who's in an acquisition phase in any market, we do precious metals, but you can take the same mindset over into real estate or stocks or treasury bills or anything else. When nobody else cares, apparently except for China, because they're the only people buying right now. So just when nobody cares but China, maybe consider picking a little bit of gold up.
Very well said.
Tori, live on location in an undisclosed area. We talked a lot about China today. Tori, are you in China?
I'm in an undisclosed vault location.
Perfect.
Counting the metal.
We'll see you when you get back to the office, Tori. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website to learn more. You can find us at mcalvaney.com. That's mcalvaney.com. We're also on Twitter at ICAGold or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Happy 4th.
Happy.